Father, King of the universe, you who give the fruit of the vine, you who satisfy our mouth with good things and deliver us from the hand of the enemy, and you crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies and you exact righteousness and judgment on our behalf for everyone that is oppressed. Thank you that you are here in our midst today and to remind us of how you are pursuing us and how you are wanting us just to lift up our hands and embrace your love and respond to your love, that we shall become vessels through which you will pour out this love. Thank you for your presence. We bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. Thank you, King, our Savior, our friend, our high brother, you've not withheld anything good from us, and you've performed the perfect work, and you are willing to share all your inheritance with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
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 Wonderful. So we have been touching on why we must be, everybody must be born again, what it even means. You know, it looks like a very elementary topic, but we are entering into a time when that foundation will be so critical and will determine if you will make it through the next phase of your life or not. This foundation will determine whether you will make it through the next phase that we are entering into or not. Now, you see, how many of you have heard about Mao Zedong? He was, you know, he began the Chinese Republic, you know. I don't know if it's right to say it began, but he was reigning in the Chinese, you know, China, and he purposed to purge the country of any kind of religion.
Wow.
Yeah. So he brought, I think he began from 66 and ended in 76. It was a 10-year thing. Blood began to pour. Christians were persecuted, the killings. It was massive. It was terrible. Churches were broken down. Pastors were dragged out and killed mercilessly. Blood poured. There was such persecution. Now, to the amazement of everybody in the Western world, the church in China began to grow and work stronger. It was mysterious. It was such a surprise. And so along the, you know, there came a time when one seminary sent 4 professors to go to China to find out what brought that resilience and caused the church to rather proliferate in the face of such
atrocities.
Severe persecution. And so they divided themselves and sent themselves to 4 corners of the country. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They divided themselves and sent 4. Go here, go there. And their intention was to sit down and interview with those who are elders and pastors who were above 60 years, because they are the ones who witnessed it. They went through it. They tasted it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I mean, the new ones wouldn't have any idea. They may have heard it. But there were people who were living, who went through it, survived. And so the four professors went there to interview them, to sit down with them. Do you know that they went, everybody, to every corner, and they came back after their research to present a white paper, a report on the findings. How many of you want to know the answer that they received from the people? Yeah. When they came and put it together, to their amazement, they found out that all the people gave the same response as to why the church not only survived, but grew and waxed stronger. And the answer was that we were prepared. This professor found out, this is the answer that I collected from all the people that I interviewed. We were prepared. This professor, same. This professor, same. That professor, same.
Wow.
Are you prepared? Are you prepared? It's one of the things that is hardly spoken about in the church now. Everybody wants to, as it were, have all his needs met. It's more than that. And now I'm not sharing this with you to bring fear. No, because the Bible, give me a scripture, Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 60. Please pay attention. Pay attention, because Isaiah 60 from verse 1 and 2. Look at it. Look at it. It's not. Is it coming? Isaiah 60 talks about darkness coming upon the earth. And now give me verse 2. Now you would notice that. Well, we can even read from verse. Let's just read from verse 1. Now notice something here. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And where does light come from? Isn't it from Jesus? In him was life, and the life that was in him was the light of men. So when he says that your light has come, it is the life that you possess, and the light that comes from that life that has come. And he says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Then why is he starting by saying all these, making all these declarations? Next verse, verse 2. Then it says, for, why? Why is he saying for? Behold. Why is he saying for? Behold. It's you need to have the life. Out of that life, the light must come forth. And it must be accompanied with the glory of the Lord. How many of you can command the glory of God to come? You can't. But it is his great desire. He delights in bringing you into that glory. But only he can do it. It is the work of the Spirit to do it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. And it is such that it is so well guarded that when that glory, when that light is coming forth and the glory is emanating, you will find out that it will only accomplish the bidding or the purposes of the Lord. Unlike Elisha, when the power was used to destroy even children. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. After Christ has come, after the perfect work has been done, after every sin has been washed by the blood, and in the resurrection, a new being has come forth, we are now designed and made to accomplish his purpose, so that as he to display of the Lord, we, the day we receive him to our death, we are meant to be carriers of the life, the light, the glory, to accomplish his purposes, which is to bring life, love. Are you with me?
Yes.
Please pay attention. No. So it says, For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and grows darkness the people. Grows darkness the people. Darkness shall cover the earth, and grows darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. When the Lord arises upon thee, the darkness and the gross darkness does not overcome, cannot, because in him was life, the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness is not able to what? comprehend, to overcome it, to embrace it and continue to exist. No. It is vanquished. Am I preaching to you?
Yes.
It says, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen. It is God's intention that his glory be seen upon you, upon me. Now, look at another scripture. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. Let's read some scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. It says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. But by the way, do you know that we are in the last days? And do you know when it began?
No.
The last days began when it began at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon the church. That's when the last days began. So we have been living in the last days for all these years. It was soon. They didn't know, because nobody knew the time. They moved on. The church moved stages. And it's our time. And now everything is waiting to bring everything to its culmination. So then it says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Next verse. For men shall be lovers of themselves. Men shall be lovers of themselves. They shall be covetous, meaning that they shall be so jealous. They shall be boasters. They shall be proud. Proud. They shall be blasphemous, meaning that they rise up and speak against anything that is godly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. That which God says this. No. And so who cares? Doesn't make sense. Just put aside and let's do what we want. Blaspheme. Blaspheme is not just to speak against something. It is to have low regard for that which God has sanctified. Another word for blaspheme is a profane. How many of you can see that? So Esau was called profane. Why was Esau called profane? Because something that is so dear to God, which is birthright and the passage of blessing from father to son to continue his intentions and purpose, to cause the light to come so that Jesus will now be brought in to bring redemption. He saw it as, no, I mean, you are hungry, you want some lentils to eat, you say birthright. So you live your life, you are so consumed and overcome by what you need to satisfy your flesh, that which God highly esteems, you bring it to naught. But Jacob, as dubious, as schematic, as swindler as he was, his heart was for those things.
Yep.
His heart was for those things. That is why we should be very, very careful. We should be very, very careful. We should be very, very, very careful, because black is not black. And white is not white in the sight of God. The thing that is apparent is not as it is. Only the Spirit of God can reveal. That's why it's called the Spirit of Truth. So what do? We don't form our own opinions without his input, without his leading. Anyway, they shall be disobedient to parents. They shall be unthankful. They shall be unholy. Let me tell you something. The description that you are seeing here, listen to me. It is not like you will live in your house. You will go to your work. You will drive in your car. You will go to the filling station. You go to the supermarket, and you will not be interacting with these men. No. You'll be working with these people. When you're buying fuel, the next person who's buying fuel is manifesting these things. When you go to the supermarket, the patient that you're taking care of, the person that you are serving, whatever profession you are into, find out that he is a lover of his own self. Mm-hmm. That's no respect, that's no regard, and it's not because of race. Please get it. It has nothing to do. It is the nature that was sown in man coming to its harvesting, coming to its maturation. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It's not how he was brought up. It has nothing to do with that. Please. That he didn't go to school. He's uneducated. That's why. Stop it. Stop it. Doctors are murderers as well. A surgeon organizes for his wife to be murdered. So it's not about education. It's a nature. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful. I mean, you have done something, you would expect that the person will be thankful. No. I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. That's the mindset. And unholy. So you will find out that the darkness is about to rise to its crescendo. And it shall be in your face. Why? Because darkness will cover the earth and grows darkness, the people. But, this is why we need to be sure, not only sure, but we need to have matured from the baby stage of being born again and growing into it properly. So, you see, now let's go back to what we have been studying, you know. Oh, I wish I could take you on these things for a bit, because we need to take things seriously. We cannot continue to live our lives and expect that when the persecutions begin, we'll make it. No. The life that you are living, when the persecution begins, the life that you are living will determine your reaction. You cannot conjure it. You cannot say, today, I'm going to speak. I bind you, I cast you. Listen, the confidence will come from the life that you have been living, the continual acknowledgement of this new life and your regard for it, so that your flesh is restrained. So your flesh must have been restrained before the day comes. But if the day comes and you have not taught your flesh how to shut it up and silence it, God already has it. The same thought that occurs to a person who is 18 years old in his Christianity, like you have been born again for 25 years. The same influence of the flesh is on you as much as it is on the person who just got born again. It doesn't change. The flesh can never born again. So Paul says, I bring my body under subjection. I bring it under, lest after I have preached, I myself will be a castaway. This is a guy, not only when he got born again, the encounter was so wild, he had to also be separated for years to find out all the things that he had to know. I mean, not all, but to grow into this thing, this encounter that he experienced on the road to Damascus. He had to be brought deeper into it. And then when he began to minister, then he says, I bring my body under, lest after I have preached, I myself. Because, say you have been born again for how many years? Say you went in seclusion, you didn't consult with anybody, Jesus himself was impressing upon you this encounter and its relevance and what he has called you to enter into. You have experienced all those things, but your flesh does not respect any of these things. And so the thoughts that occur to you, they need to respond to insult and to, you know, uncivil behavior. It's still there. It's still there. It doesn't stop. So now you have to train it to bring it under. So let's go back. Let's go back to John 3. You know, I'm just trying to take you a little bit deeper into the word. John 3. Go back to John 3 from verse 3. That was our foundational. Go back, please, John 3. So it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except your nature is completely, utterly changed. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot relate with it. You cannot relate with it. You cannot. It will become so foolish to you. And unfortunately, for many Christians, this whole thing, it's really, that's why many, perhaps that the love of money shall wax cold. Anyway, verse 4. says you must be born again. You must be born again. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Mean that everything and anything that you got from your mama and your father, the meeting together of the egg and the sperm, all it brought forth is a being which is of the flesh, a being which is sentenced to only acts of the flesh. So anything that is not of the flesh is foolishness. Anything that is, you say, is of the Spirit. Is it what? They don't make sense. Because all that you and I, every one of us received, is a bondage to the flesh. 1 + 1 must be 2. I must see it. I must feel it. Listen, I must smell it. I should be able to touch it. If I can't, if all these things are not, throw it away, forget about it. Is it what? If I die, I'm dead. I mean, what? It's finished. We're going to throw you into the. No. It's more than that. It's more than that. You are a spirit. But the reality of you being a spirit does not dawn on you until you are born again. And there are so many people that the devil has possessed. They know the spiritual realm. They understand it. And they are delving deeper into it and wreaking more havoc, more evil. And they are the ones who the devil will also use to torment you. To it's Bible that men, they shall be truth breakers. They you know that scripture. I tell you, evil will abound, but it shall not be any match to you because you are a possessor of the life and the light. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So you cannot just say that, oh, me, I'll be neutral. There's no neutral ground. No. The devil doesn't care whether you. No, there's no neutral ground. That's why Jesus said that I wish you were either hot or cold. If you are cold, I know what to do to get you in. If you are hot, my spirit's influence will cause you to burn hotter. But you are neither this. It's like your foot is here, your foot is there. When it comes to faith, you say you know about it. Grace, you say you know about it. Salvation, you say I'm born again. This, you say I am this. But the Holy Spirit cannot do anything with you because you are neither hot nor cold. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Like the person who was on the side when he was dying. The reason why he was dying, the reason why they crucified him was because the guy was into evil. I mean, he knew. This is our lifestyle. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a problem for the Lord. Listen to me. It is not a problem for the Lord. Salvation is always near unto anyone who is delving in darkness. But when you find out that, I hate this life. I don't want it. Yes, I have lived it for 50 years, but I hate it. His arms are open. Say, son, I'm ready. Would you come in? Here's the door. Would you enter? They'll let you enter. It's like, why would you even do such a thing for somebody who has brought such terribleness to other people's lives? Paul was there overseeing the stoning of Stephen. But he was being set up for the encounter. And many who have been wreaking havoc are being set up, and they don't know it. They're about to encounter Christ in ways it will shock them out of their darkness. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. So be careful. Be careful that you don't write people out and just discard them and all that. Anyway, where will we be? Go back, please. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. So when he says that you must be born again, what he's saying is that you must be born of the Spirit. The Spirit must give birth to you anew. And when the Spirit gives birth to you, what he gives birth to is Spirit. It is Spirit. So if you are looking for it, if you can't find it, you can't find it. If you want to touch it, you can't touch it, because that which he has given birth to is Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That which he is going to give birth to is Spirit. So then he must, he takes it a step further. Go ahead. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Don't be surprised that I say you must be born again. If you don't get born again, you will, the thing, the life, he came to give us life and to give us more abundantly. That life is true. It's real. It is presently available to every one of us and everyone who is in darkness, because he had everyone in mind as he was doing it. But you must be born again to be brought into this abundance. So you must be born again. Next verse. So this is where we are coming. The wind bloweth where it wishes, or listed. That word listed means wishes. The wind blows where it wishes. What happens is that you only hear the sound thereof. You hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it coming, or you can't tell where is it coming from. Where is it coming from? And by the way, where is it going? Then it says, that is exactly what it means. Or that is exactly what it is like when one is born of the Spirit. So what he's saying is this. What he's saying is this. Look at the tree. You see that there's a rattling of the leaves. Sometimes it's so subtle. Other times it is so visible. Are you with me?
Yes.
You see that it's sometimes I had a tree. It was heavy, very top heavy. And it was beautiful behind my backyard. So nice. It put so much shade. Only problem is that because it was so top heavy, it was prone to being blown excessively. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One day, the wind blew so hard that a whole big chunk of it fell off. Are you with me?
Yes.
A portion was standing. I collected the portion.
Yes.
Okay. So it says, so I collected the portion that was blown off, you know, threw it away, but and it started growing. But after another time, the wind blew harder, and then the portion that was left, that I thought was it was giving some nice shade, it also just followed. It went away. My neighbor who has the same tree experienced the same thing, but he has other trees. He has more trees on his yard. All the other trees were intact. But this tree, that was the end of it. His also got blown away. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's saying that just you see that obviously the thing that caused me to fall down was the wind, right?
Yes.
But how many of you can see it?
No.
You can't see it. All that you experience is the effects of the wind. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he's saying that when you are born again, your height doesn't change. The face, your color doesn't change. Your size doesn't change. Nothing physical about, there is no physical, as it were, evidence that will show that as a ritual is coming, as a fear is coming, oh, if you are now you're born again, wow, I see that you're born again. He said, no, it's not like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the effect of the new life, the effect of being born of the Spirit, the effect of the entrance of the life of Jesus into you, and now you being a container of the life and the child of the life, which is light, must now begin to show. So people's interaction with you must now reveal that I don't know what happened to you, but you are changed. Aha. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even your manner of speech has changed. Even the friendship that you caught has changed. You see, when the child is born, you will find out that there is an initial cry. True or false?
True.
In fact, if that cry does not come, the doctors are very disappointed. True or false?
True.
They even try to make the child cry. It's like, because it's a sign of life. It's a sign that life has entered. So if that cry is not there, it said, I can't see the light, the life. But what they're looking for is the cry of a child. Likewise, when you become born again, the Bible says that God has sent his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba,
wow.
Father. So there is a longing that comes inside you, wanting to know this life, wanting to experience this life, which is the life of God himself. It's the life of Jesus, which the Holy Spirit has come to magnify. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. I think it's in Galatians 4 verse 6. Look at it. Yeah. Look at Galatians 4 verse 6. Amy. Come and magnify it for me, please. Look at Galatians 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, or because you are children, because you are born of the Spirit, the Bible says, good. Bible says, take it, okay. Oh, press something. Yeah. He said, and because you are sons, because you are born of the Spirit, because you are born again, God, now look at it too. It is God who does it. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I tell you, so you'll find out that when you become born again, when you don't hear the word that feeds your spirit, you find out that you become something else. You become something else. True or false?
True.
Yeah. The reason why I stopped. I used to go to church growing up to where I was, the church I was born in, which is the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church. I went through all the catechism and everything to collect communion and all that. But when I got born again, I realized that I wasn't being fed anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the yearning, the longing in my heart to know the Father, it forced me out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Very good. It is God who has sent Spirit. Oh, can I be born again? No. It's not everybody who can even belong to every church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because our callings are different. Anyway. Now, these are early signs. One of the other signs that you will see in a child is it wants to suck everything. If you make a mistake and you bring your finger close to its mouth, you'll find out that it positions its true or false.
True.
Yeah, mothers, you know, Of course, please don't put your finger in somebody's child. The fingers are dirty anyway. So very good, very good. So you find out that the child is ready, always wanting to suck something. The Bible says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. That is that scripture, 1 Peter 2:2, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, you find out that you want to hear. Now, there is something that happens along the way, which I don't want to get into now, because it's not the time for it now. But one of the third sign, these are early signs, the third sign of the third initial sign of being born, being entered into the world, or being born again, is that the child wants to be hugged, wants to be carried, wants company, wants to feel the mother's presence, wants to feel the warmth. How many of you have noticed that? So the Bible says that not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some has become. Because that was the case when you got born again. You wanted to be in the company of believers. Now, if you are now desiring to be in the company, if you feel more comfortable in the company of people who are not into the Lord, something's wrong. Your faith is waxing cold. If you enjoy the company of people who speak vulgar words, profane words, they want to watch everything that is offensive to God. Now remember, the Bible says that men shall be lovers of themselves. You know, Ash, I have to pass the scripture because I think it's very, very important for us. Yeah, I think it's very important for us to know these things. You see, give me that scripture first. Now let's read it. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Look at it quickly. Now, these are the initial signs of being born. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This is so important. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. And so you find out that it is so important for believers, carriers, those who are born of the Spirit, to by all means work to get their brethren out of bondages. So you find that somebody is offended, has been seeded, is becoming bitter. You want to do something that will take him out of it. One man went to Tibet. Actually, he didn't go to Tibet. The intention was to meet some group of people in China. But when he went there, at that time, it's still not so free to able to grab people and preach to them. So it was only by invitation. It was organized by a 30-year-old girl. So he had about 20-something people gathered on Tibet, far away in the mountainous area, so that you will only know that there was such a meeting only if you're invited. Otherwise, you never know. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you know that when they gathered, as they were enjoying the fellowship, the Holy Spirit descended. Everybody there began to speak in tongues. They were just enjoying the fellowship. And at a point in time, the man of God said, "Let us now pray for China." Do you know something? To his amazement, the youngest person in the group, who was praying in tongues and enjoying the prayers and ceaselessly praying and just overcome. The moment the man of God said, "Let us pray for China," zim, his lip became so tight. Mm. He looked at this person, the same thing. Look at this person, the same thing. Say, hey, pray for China. Zim. Nobody will talk. Nobody. And so he was confused. And so he asked the organizer, the 30-year-old girl, who understood English perfectly. As a matter of fact, he was the translator. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So he asked her to pray. Zim.
Hey.
He said, ah, what is wrong? Do you know? Because, well, the 30-year-old said that, no, we will never pray for China. Whoa. They killed and finished our families. They did this and they did this and they did it. We would never pray. The people who were not born when that thing was happening, look at the passion with which they hate China. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are born again, Holy Spirit filled, speaking in tongues, overcome by God's love. But they have been seeded, not because they even experienced it. No, it has been passed on. That's what is happening in Palestine. The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were not there when it was happening. They were not born. They have not seen. But it has been passed on. The seed of darkness like that. So the man of God asked the Lord, they need to be delivered. I don't know how to do this thing. And then he stepped out. As soon as he stepped out, he saw a people, 50 people. He was afraid. He thought that they have found us out. They're going to finish us because it's not supposed to be known that a Christian company, a Christian group has met and all that. To his amazement, they were shining, bright. Say, ah, what is this? And God began to show him that it was the people that were martyred. Some of the people that were martyred. Father, mother, who were pastors. And then we saw a couple that had a child. Said, ah, but God, so if these people matter, what about the child? Anyway, it's a long story. I'm not going to go into it because that's not the point anyway. But God wanted the man of God to understand what happened and the evil that was released and how it is so deep-seated and rooted that it is passed on to a person who is born 5 years ago. Meanwhile, the thing happened. 66. Look, how many of you were born in 66? Where were you? But a 10-year-old, a 20-year-old is experiencing that thing as if it happened yesterday. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I tell you. So it says that, so go back to the scripture. It says, wow, I've not begun to preach you. Man, I've not begun to preach the message that I wanted to preach. But I think you need the invitation. I mean, you need the, which was what? It says, not forsaking, and let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, because there is a provocation unto evil and more evil by what you've experienced. That is why a child born into a marriage that is broken, you find out that the child wasn't there when the beast began. The child just, in 5 years, he saw the parents together. When he turned 6, they were not together anymore. But he grows up to become 25, and he has such a hatred for the father, or a hatred for the mother, whoever gains more access, that you cannot easily take it out. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't take it out. So he says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And the next verse says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? They long for it. They loved it. But now, because of the seeding, they forsake the assembling of themselves together. So, and the devil knows it. The devil knows the effect of the assembly. He knows what happens when the people gather in love. Mm-hmm. He knows it. So he must stop it. And he uses offense. He uses all these kind of things as the man of Psalms, but exalting one another. And so much the more. So if that was your longing when you got born again, is that it must reach a crescendo as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why you must fight. You must fight. There are many things that mean to take you out. Oh, yeah. And everybody is subject to it unless you make a conscious effort that, no, I know the cause. I know the intention of this. It's a seven-step strategy by the enemy. I'm not going to let him. Hallelujah. Anyway, so these are the initial signs. But let's talk about now the message. The message is actually talking about the latter signs. The latter signs. The signs are supposed to show, to prove to yourself and to all and sundry that really I am born of the Spirit. I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What he's saying is that what he came to do, I have received it. And I have renounced the ownership of my life to him as Lord. That's what it means to become born again. That's what it means to become born again. I have renounced the ownership of my life to him as Lord. Let me tell you something. Look at the scripture. The scripture for today actually is Romans 12 from verse 1. Romans 12 from verse 1. Oh, guys, are you being blessed by God's word?
Yes.
Look at Romans 12 from verse 1. Look, the enemy is smarter than any of us. Don't even try. Don't even try. No one of us is a match. It's only one. There's only one who has overcome him and will consistently silence him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says that, I beseech you, therefore. You see, even you use the word therefore, or in view of this, or because of the foregoing deductions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So now, unfortunately, so you let's read the scripture. Say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of the mercies of God, you know, I think we will change the version in a moment, that you present your bodies, you present your bodies. Then it says, a living sacrifice. Today, I want to talk about presenting your body. I really want you to know something. Presenting your body. Then it says, a living sacrifice. Can I give a different version? It says, holy, acceptable. You know, don't worry. Let me just share something with you, and then we'll be closing very soon. I want you to know something, that when sin, the nature, entered into the world through the first man, Adam, the Bible says that nature, that sin nature, it's passed upon all men, no one exempt. So when you are born, it is that nature that is born. It is the nature, you're not born as born again. No, nobody is born. You enter the world and you're born again. It doesn't happen like that, because you are born of the flesh. Does that make sense? So you have to be born again. Now, here's the thing. What does it mean that sin entered and death passed upon all men? Or it says condemnation. Condemnation is a sentence. What does it mean that a sentence passed upon all men? Let me explain to you, because you must understand this. Because the first man sinned, and that nature called sin, which is the nature of the devil, entered him, all his children, all his descendants are born with that nature, and automatically they are born as children of the devil. So all of us were children of the devil until we are born again to become children of God. So a Muslim is a child of the devil. It doesn't matter how he lives his life. He is. Why? For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what?
Children of God.
So if you don't receive it, what happens to you?
You're not a child.
Exactly. You know, we love to say that, oh, God made them all. God created everybody. Yes, 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 yes. And the love that he has for me and the love that he has for the Muslim is the same. Same, that not a shade down. No. Same degree of love. Same degree. But until a person receives this life, he's still a child of the devil. God loved that person so much so that whatever he sends to his children, he says, these ones who are yet, I'm waiting for them to also receive this, must enjoy it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, listen to this. The death that came upon us, or the sentence that came upon us, is a sentence that it sentences you to a life of the flesh, meaning you live in bondage to your flesh, meaning you can only receive the wisdom that comes from the flesh. Listen, you can only receive the wisdom. Remember, the Bible says that this wisdom does not descend from above. Remember? But what is it? It says it is earthly. Then it says it is sensual. Then it says it's devilish. So the sentence of death that came upon us, it made every person that is born of a woman live only in bondage to receiving that kind of wisdom. How does that wisdom manifest? Do you know? Some of you have been offended by anybody before. How many of you, you make an attempt to be nice to a person, and that person takes your niceness and stamp it upon his feet, and you are shocked that even common civility is not experienced. How many of you are shocked by it? Now, let me tell you something. Do you know that you don't have to know the Ten Commandments to be shocked that you are expecting that if I'm showing you love, you must show me love? How many of you know that you don't need to know the Ten Commandments to know that what you did was offensive? What I'm trying to say is that the life that everybody lives, because it is the wisdom that is rejected by God, it is not of God. Even though you don't know the Ten Commandments, it is in us. You know, maybe I should use a scripture so that you can understand this a little bit better. A little bit better. You see? Well, what time is it? I'm going to end soon, but I need to end properly. Now, listen. There is a medication. The medication is used for those who are alcoholics. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I think I should give you a scripture first so that this will, and I'll close with this. Look at Romans 7. Look at Romans 7. Look at verse. Holy Spirit will help me to let you guys see this, and then we close, and then we continue next week. You will begin to love God in a different way. Now look at Romans 7 verse 5. Remember, I said that the nature of sin that came and the sentence of death that was upon us, it made us only live according to the wisdom of our flesh. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, it says that for when we were in the flesh, can you give it to me in the Amplified Version? Give to me the Amplified Version. I really pray that you will see it. Do you not know, brethren? For I am speaking to men who are acquainted with the law, that legal claims have power over a person only for as long as he is alive. Go to verse 5. Verse 5 is where I want us to begin from. Look at verse 5. When we were living in the flesh, when we were living the flesh, remember that which is born of the flesh is what?
Flesh.
Exactly. So when we were living the flesh, so you did nothing to be sentenced to the life of the flesh. You did nothing. In that life, it is that life that makes you have to. It is that life that makes you. You can only eat after you toil. It is that life that makes. It's like, if I've not worked for this, I can't get it. I can't enjoy it. Anyway, let's go and see. When we were living the flesh or trapped by sin. Oh, give the other one that you gave me. It says, when we were living in the flesh or mere physical lives, the sinful passions that were awakened and aroused up by what the law makes sin were constantly operating in our natural powers, in our bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, so that we bore fruit only for death. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we were fleshly. We were born of the flesh. So when you do me, something stirs up inside me.
Yes.
I must react. I have no other option. So anytime I see you, the wound is stirred up. And yes. I want to do something to also hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Very good. So this is the bondage. And so evil multiplied and we live to bear fruit unto more evil. Whether you were there when it happened or not, doesn't matter. Evil happened. So next verse. Verse 6. Then it says, but now we are discharged from the law and have terminated. Now give me the King James. So it says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now let me explain something to you. You see, there's a medication, it's called antabuse. It's used for alcoholics. It's you might call it anti-booze. Anti-booze. Now, when somebody's an alcoholic and that person is given that medication, the moment you take that medication, you find out that when you go and you drink alcohol, you become so nauseous. You begin to vomit.
Wow.
You begin to be so miserable that you begin to even hate your life. So as long as you are taking the medication and you are drinking, you will begin to detest life so much so that you will find out that you are better off not drinking. Whatever satisfaction you used to gain by the alcohol, now when you drink that same alcohol, the effect it brings you is so opposite. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You begin to hate life so much so that now you begin to hate the alcohol. Now, here's the thing. If a person who does not drink takes the same medication, you find out that the effect of the medication, which is to cause anti-alcoholism, the medication is useless. But he has taken the medication, but it doesn't produce anything because he doesn't drink. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. In the spiritual realm, you don't need to take the law. You don't need to take anything. When you were born, the nature, listen to me, I'm closing. You had a nature. That nature is called sin. But here's the thing. That nature receives its power from the law. Listen. It receives its power from the law. So that nature once you have that nature, it loves it when you look at the law that says that this is what you must do. And even though the law is good, when you try to do it, then that nature begins to manifest its effect. Are you listening?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Very good. So now, listen. Listen. That is why everybody has the Ten Commandments in himself without even knowing that there is anything called Ten Commandments. That is why even in the most rural area where God's word has never been taught, everybody knows that this is this person's wife. You don't have to go and sleep with her. Do you know that? Everybody knows that?
Yeah.
Have they ever read "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife"?
No.
They don't even know what it means. They have never heard it, but they know. Why? Because everybody is born with that thing.
Wow.
So when God gave the law, it was not so that you will learn how to do good. No. It's to show to you the nature which you have. Because you say that now I'm going to live by myself. That's what is called the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to live as by myself. I'm going to just decide what is good and do them. And then what is evil, I will shun it. So God says, okay. I'm going to make it known to you in plain, white and black and white, what I call good and what I call evil. Because you say you want to live by yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sin loves it when you look at it and say, I am going to do it, because that nature will arise and make you know that this is your nature. So when he gave the law, it was to reveal that nature. Now listen, I'm about to close. That when you become born again, you don't have that nature in your spirit anymore. That nature does not have its power over your spirit anymore, but it lives in your flesh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The moment you engage your flesh or you receive any wisdom from your flesh, that nature rises up.
Mm-hmm.
You see, right now, I'm standing here. If I jump, why do I come down?
Force of gravity.
Now, but I'm here. Isn't the force of gravity working on me?
Mm-hmm. It's working.
Why is it not causing me to go down further? It is met by another force.
False, yeah.
True or false?
True.
But the moment I jump, force of gravity say, hey, you are making nonsense of me. I will prove to you that I am a law and I'm abiding. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the moment I rise up, it will prove to me that he is to be respected. So he brings me down. So for me to overcome this, I cannot just ignore it or say that I will discredit it or I can do anything. No. I'm going to have to deploy another law. I am going to have to deploy another law which is superior to this force of gravity. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When Jesus came to die for us, not only did he die to forgive us our sins, but he died so that this law, the law that he gave to man through Moses, which operates through the flesh, we will never ever have to deploy it.
Mm.
So I cannot tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. It will never work. What I have to tell you is that there is a new law. There is a new law. That law makes you supersede the law of sin and death, which operates through your flesh. Read the scripture, Romans 8. This is so important. It's a teaser. Look at Romans 8, verse 1. Look at Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, no condemnation, no sentence. You are no longer under a sentence to only receive from your flesh. if you receive from your flesh, the law, listen, the law of sin will reign, will rule. You say, I'm educated. It does not respect your education. You say, I love people. It does not respect it. You say, I'm an American. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation or the sentence to no longer live in bondage to the flesh is only to those who are in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on, who walk not after the flesh. They do not receive the wisdom that comes from the flesh. But what do they receive? They receive only the wisdom that comes from the Spirit. Why? Verse 2. Look at it. For the law of the Spirit of the life that is in Christ Jesus has made you and me free from the law of sin and death. Listen to me. You cannot just ignore the law of sin and death. It operates. It's abiding. It works through your flesh. So if you engage it, it will rule over you. I just engaged it by jumping. What happened?
Him down.
Exactly. It doesn't respect who it is that jumped. It doesn't respect who it is that jumped. You have engaged it. It must rule. See, this is why when Jesus says, love your neighbor, he's saying that don't listen to the wisdom that comes from the flesh that says that he has wronged me. He has done this to me. He must come and apologize. And I'm waiting. I'm not at fault. No, God, you can't judge me for this. Listen to me. You are engaging the wisdom that comes from the flesh. All the bitterness. And the bitterness does not destroy him who wronged you. It destroys you. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
All the effects of whatever is done against you, it now begins to destroy you. And because you are deploying the law of sin and death, the life, the law of the Spirit, which is life in Christ, must be silenced. Who silenced it?
You.
Exactly. So it says, now therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. It is your body in which, go to verse 6. Or verse 5. Oh, let's read it. I'm closing right now, but I need you to get this. Go to verse 3. For what the law could not do, who gave the law?
God.
If you read chapter 7, verse 9, it says that the law is good. It is spiritual. Are you with me?
Yes.
But what the law could not do in that it was weak through what?
Flesh.
Whose flesh?
Our flesh. So
whatever good that the law is meant to accomplish, as good as it is, as great the benefits are, if you attempt to do it, you can't. Why? Because you are a man of flesh. It says, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He now has condemned sin that rules through the flesh. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This verse. So that the righteousness of the law, because when the righteousness of the law is accomplished, what happens to you? Blessings. True or false?
True.
So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Next verse. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. This was our case until Christ came on the scene. We were all under bondage to the flesh. All we knew was the flesh. We respond to the flesh. The world wisdom. The world said, this is what must be, what we must do. This is how things go. This is how things work. And that's all we knew. We go to school. We are trained by that. We live by that. You do me, I do you. I will never forget these people. You have done this to me. It's been that they are all like this. This is how we all behave. And nobody was exempt. But after being born again, if you continue, it says, for they that are after, give me the NASB, or Amplify, NASB is fine. For those who are according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the spirit, that's what you are. They set their same mind on things of the spirit. But how is that done? Now, verse 6, let me close. For the mind that is set on the flesh is death, and God can't stop it. But the mind that is set on the spirit is life, and it is peace. Romans 12, verse 1. I mean, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Present your bodies. When you were a child, anywhere and anytime poop wants to come, it comes. No stopping. It didn't matter whether the mayor, the president, it didn't matter who what dignitary is there, is present. Ah, it just comes. If it's wee wee, I mean, it's coming. Sometimes you are changing your baby, and if it's a boy, the wee wee comes into your face, into your mouth. You say you are singing. Honey, before you know, the wee wee has entered your mouth. You are drinking your child's wee wee. It's not a problem. It's a child. But when you grow up, even when your stomach is making noise, from that, oh, not here, oh, stop it, ah! why? Is this not poop? This is just your stomach, which you can't even control. But the disturbance is making the people in the place, it's a meeting. Even that, you don't know what to do. You want to hide your face, true or false? But what I'm saying is that when you grow, the same poop that wants to come say no, not here and not now. Mm-hmm. Likewise, present your bodies. Listen to me. Your body does not distinguish between your wife and another woman. It doesn't. Your body does not distinguish between your husband and another man. It doesn't. So what do? You must now start learning how to set your mind on your spirit, the life of God inside you. And then you take steps to present your body. And you must do it now. When the time comes, when the persecution begins, when the glory of God must rise up upon you. Are you with me?
Yes.
And it must be seen upon you. You will find out that you are the one who will not allow it. It's not God who is withholding the glory from you. It's because your body says, what is glory? What is light? What is all these foolishness? So I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present you. Can you allow yourself to be offended and take it as a cause? No, you can't. Can you hold a matter against anybody when God says that my blood has already washed and forgiven all of them? No, stop it. Now, learn it. Let's rehearse it. It's only those who have rehearsed this, who overlook a fault, who say, I don't have my right. I don't have the right to exercise this. You say, you are a fool. Let me be a fool. Let God be true.
God be God.
Yeah.
Exactly. You must learn it now. Because we are coming there. The darkness will be all around you, but the glory of the Lord is meant to arise upon you so that out of you, the darkness must be quenched from around you, that your household and everything that pertains to you may walk in the light. Let's rise to our feet. It is this is the reason why Christians divorce, pastors divorce pastors. Because the flesh, the body is reigning. And sin rules and reigns through the flesh. It does not respect. Say you are born again for how many years? Now you are a preacher. Paul said that I bring my body under, lest after I have preached. If he was married, it says if he doesn't learn to bring his body under, even though he's a preacher and is married, he will divorce. You will live a life that does not edify the life that is now inside you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Begin to just pray. Say to yourself, therefore, I also, I present my body. I present my body. I present my body. Your body does not respect. My body does not respect. Does not respect the presence of God. Does not honor the presence of God. It says flesh and blood cannot partake of my life. Does not respect. Doesn't even know. It's like the wind. It's blowing. Don't know where it's coming from. Don't know where it's going. Can I take an action based on what my flesh is telling me? The wisdom that comes from my flesh, which never stops talking, by the way. No. Can I live, walk in fear? Fear is the devil operating through your flesh. Your spirit does not know fear. Your spirit cannot be afraid. Your spirit does not live in anxiety. Anxiety is the work of the flesh. Depression is the work of the flesh. Torment, everything, it comes through the flesh. For the works of the flesh, they are manifest. They are manifest. They are manifest. But the works of the spirit operating through your spirit, they also manifest. Gentleness, love, meekness, long-suffering. You cannot suffer long in your flesh. You can't. I can't. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not in our flesh. You don't have any weapon there. And God is not about to give you any weapon in your flesh. But he has caused it to abound in your spirit. That's who you are. That's who I am. I cannot overlook a fault. My flesh will not allow me. It will not allow. Oh, no. Because it's in my face. My eyes see it. I can even feel it. But when I tune into my spirit, I see the blood not only washed me, but washed him and washed her. When I enter into my spirit, I see in the sacrifice of his death, that nature that used to rule me ended. That same nature that is ruling this person has ended. He just does not know it. So now I'm going to live by the truth because I know the truth. It is that knowledge that sets me free. He doesn't know it, so he lives in bondage. But the day that his eyes are opened, he also will begin to walk in that same truth. And it's my duty and your duty for us to walk in the light. And as our light begins to shine, all men see. Father, we thank you and we bless you. For the entrance of your word indeed brings illumination. We give you praise and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Please take your communion. Wow. Take your communion. Let's pray. Lift up the body. Father, we thank you for this body. We bless the body. As we eat this body, we remind ourselves of your sacrifice, your body which was broken, the woundedness, the piercing, the price, every price that had to be paid to end the condemnation, to end the bondage, to live by the wisdom of the flesh. You paid for it so that we will no longer live in bondage to the flesh. For every righteous requirement has been satisfied by you, so that now we will be married to you. We will live in submission to you. As we eat this body, we remind ourselves of he who paid for it and who now has become our life, the body of Jesus Christ. Please eat the body. Not the blood. We partake of the blood of the New Testament. The blood that now causes us to partake of your nature. The blood that causes us to be sons and daughters of the Father, who do not live according to the dictates of this flesh and of this world. The wisdom of this flesh and of this world no longer rules us, but we live by a new wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above, which is pure, which is not hypocritical, which is easy to be entreated. There's wisdom that causes life to pour out. And it is because of this blood, the blood of Jesus. Please drink the blood. Thank you.